Now, okay, here we are, and we're talking about all kinds of stuff. Everybody's keeping their notes out. You should be writing down those action items, those key things, because it's so, so important that you come back to it and you get some action done. But what we're going to talk about here is how to get high-paying, quality clients without marketing. Now, should have put a little asterisk on here, because there's a book out that I read, and it's about the dental profession. It's called Everything is Marketing. And I love that title because it truly is. So when you're going out there and looking for a new team member, you're marketing, okay? When you're out in the grocery store and start talking to somebody about their business, about their bookkeeping, you're marketing. You're sitting on a plane. Who was sitting on a plane next to somebody and got their card and now, yeah, now it's Kim and then somebody else. Justin, of course you did, yeah. You probably handed out business cards. So there was one other lady that I was speaking with that had somebody that they got their card. Might not be in here or doesn't want to admit it. That's marketing right there, okay? So what we're talking about here is just another way for you to go out there and get clients. You should never, ever stop. What did we say this morning? There's two activities. Number one is what? Marketing. And then the other one, too, is what? Recruiting. You don't have to take on every client. You don't have to hire every individual. But if you want to grow this business, it's so, so important. So what we're doing is obviously arming you with a lot of different stuff. Again, it's not anecdotal. It's not working for everyone. You grab onto what's working for you. If you'll notice inside of Bookkeeper Launch, there's a lot of different ways to go out there and get clients. Some people love LinkedIn, have had tons of success on LinkedIn, and other people are like, I hate LinkedIn, I got no results. I spent 2 hours on there and didn't get a client. But some people love it, right? You got to find where your people are, get in front of them. I was speaking with an attendee, and she was thinking about a certain niche, and I was like, well, where are they? Get in front of them. Get in front of them online. Get in front of them in an ad. Get in front of them on Facebook. Get in front of them physically. All the different ways that you can do that. So what you're trying to get here are the ways that are going to work for you. Okay? The ways that are going to work are where your clients are. So, again, I'm going to go back to method number one, which I said, and I'm going to do the exercise again because I don't think that you understand the implications or the possibilities of what this can do. Okay? Most of us in here, we had an inordinate amount of people who didn't like the marketing and sales, and a few people who did. And I would venture to say, and I'm not going to do this, but I would venture to say that those that enjoy the marketing and sales probably have a lot more income. Is that right or wrong? I don't care, but I'm just venturing to guess. In partnerships, you know, who likes to do the marketing and sales? So again, stand up. Stand up if you like to do marketing and sales. Okay? All right? So, those of you who are sitting down, you should look to these people, right? You should look for a potential partnership. Again, I'm not suggesting that you go and get married, okay? I'm not suggesting that you go out there and you can have a seat. Thank you. I'm not suggesting that you go out there and get married, but have a conversation with somebody. Maybe they were at your table, right? But it's important that you understand, because most of us don't like marketing and sales. And when you create that Superman and, what was that one? Batman, when you create that duo, it can be very, very powerful. So not just here and not just in this context, and again, it might be something that you do formally. It might be a joint venture. It might be something that you do as a formal partnership. But I can guarantee you that 1 + 1 does not equal 2 in this situation. It equals 10. It equals 20. And don't underestimate that. The problem is that for every one person in here who like marketing, there's 7 or 8 of you who don't, right? So look who has the leverage. But what we're trying to do here is to find more ways to go out there and get those quality, high-paying clients and do it in a way that's systematized, like we talked about right before lunch. Does that make sense? Partnerships, at least explore them, okay? This is another one of the benefits of getting together physically with people that are in your area. And I'm trying to figure out a way because where are my Washington State folks? Because I've talked to a bunch of people. Stand up. Washington State folks, okay? Look around at each other. I've talked to a lot of people from Washington State. So you guys should get together and gals, right? So look and, yeah, mark everybody. Where are my California peeps? I'm not going to do all the states, but I may try to do them over time. Look, connect with them. If you're not connected with them, do it online. Do it physically. Okay? Potential partnerships. I'm going to go through the Texas. Where are my Tejas people? Texas. yeehaw. Where's my Texas people? Where's my Florida people?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at that. They're already together and posting pictures and like, up ears. So this is just some of the things, some of the ways that you could potentially do that. And if it's not some sort of formal partnership, it's accountability. It's getting help. What we talked about, the community, the power community that Kirsten talked about this morning. All these things are in benefit. And I cannot stress enough that it's a lonely endeavor. I don't have to tell you that, but it's so, so important that you have that. Again, I'll come back to the things that are essential because it's so important. I cannot drive it home. I know that you're going to be saying, I wish you'd shut up and stop saying that about the community, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to do it because it's so important. Method number two, authority. I don't mean authoritarian. I don't mean this in a negative connotation. I mean you becoming an authority. Another buzzword that people use is an influencer, right? Okay. What does influence mean, right? Well, it means you're able to persuade. Has everybody read the book? I hope so, because you listen to me. Has everybody read the book Influence by Robert Cialdini? Okay, on your book list, who was wanting I think it was Cheryl, you wanted a book to read on the way out here and on the way back. Yeah, there you go. There's your book, right? Influence. The other one by him, which is it's a yin and yang type of situation, is Persuasion, Robert Cialdini. I got to see him speak. It's really cool. But there's a lot of powerful stuff in there. He talks about authority. He talks about influence. And again, this is not a negative connotation saying I'm going to be an authoritarian. What you do, what I say goes. And that's it. That's not what we're talking about. But if you hear that... Give me a famous person who's written a book lately.
Aaron Brockovich.
Aaron Brockovich, perfect. Thank you. Why didn't I think of that? So how many of you, Aaron Brockovich being here was one of the determining factors in you coming to BKX? A few, right? I'm glad Aaron's not in here because I bet there would be a lot more hands on stage. But she's an authority, right? She has a movie about her, but she didn't have that movie about her until she stood up for what was right. So what we're going to be talking about here is how to become an instant authority. How to become an instant authority in your niche, okay? Which brings me to my first point, niche. It's a whole lot easier for you to be heard inside of a high school gymnasium than it is at AT&T Dallas, what do they call it, Texas Stadium? Go Cowboys. You know, so imagine, you're in a high school stadium, and you're trying to yell at somebody across the floor, you probably have a pretty good chance of being heard, unless it's just really, really ruckus and loud. You're in Dallas, Texas Stadium, or any other big stadium here, go to watch the Knights here. Is it possible for you to be heard there? No. So this might be called being a big fish in a small pond. I don't care what you say, but being in a niche is probably the most powerful thing that you can do to become an authority in your field. I mean that. That's like the best thing. I cannot tell you how many clients that I got simply by saying, hi, I'm Ben, and I'm an accountant, and I only work with dentists. Woo, really? Come sign up with me, right? Come do my stuff. I mean, that was literally part of my most, out of all the things that I did and all the charades, I would do that and say, literally after that, want some help? What Perry talked about yesterday? And I was shocked that over half the time, they're like, yeah, let's get going. I'm like, I didn't tell you my price. They were just like, let's get going because they saw the value in that. They saw me as an authority. And I would use things like in dentistry. Anybody here have a dental background as an assistant or a dentist or anything? Yeah, so I would use things like, yeah, it's an amalgamation of your financial statements. Who in the hell uses the word amalgamation, right? Dentists do. People in the dentist field. I learned their lingo, okay? Don't underestimate the power of that. They're like literally, I try to work that into a statement. I was like, how can I use the word amalgamation today? Everybody get one of those words of the day, right? But I would work these things in. And it wasn't to be cute or anything like that. I would use it in the right context. But it showed that I knew what I was talking about, that I understood them, which has been a recurring theme over this, right? Understanding your client. Understanding your team members, understanding what they want, feeling heard. Remember how Perry was talking about if people feel heard, you know, they're going to be attracted to you, and it's the same thing right here. So I cannot stress. Out of all the things we're talking about, that's the quickest way for you to become an authority. Everybody with me on that? Does anybody dispute that? If you do, you're out. Just kidding. Okay, so, and I'm going to give you an example of somebody who does this probably better than anybody in just a minute so that you can kind of put it all together. Have a good versus evil mission. Okay? So, let's think about it this way. If I were, let's say, had a company that sells how to start a bookkeeping business. Let's just say that I had that, right? Let's just say that I had that. What could be an evil that you guys, as potential clients, what's a potential evil? Well, a potential evil is corporate America, right? A potential evil is the status quo. A potential evil is having to choose between putting your child in child care versus being able to stay at home with them. All these things. It could be a person. It could be a symbol. It could be a corporation. I'm not suggesting that you become a conspiracy theorist. That's not what I'm talking about here. But it can come as basic, and when you see the example, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. So, in your industry, okay? So, let's go back to dentistry. I'm going to sit down for just a second. Let's go back to dentistry. So, there's tons of evils in there, right? Tons of things. One of them could be the dental supply companies. One of them could be that my patients are different. Whatever the case may be, how do you think that I uncover what their evil is? Ask. Asking them, right? Asking them and listening to them. It comes back to the pain points, and we'll talk about that more because pain sells a lot more. Pain alleviation sells a lot more than gain. That's how we're wired. How much money is spent on preventative medicine versus curing medicine? What's the other alternative? Right. Like, it's like 50 to 1. People don't spend money to prevent things. They just want it. If I got it, now I want to get rid of it. Right? That's why, that's an example of how pain sells a lot more than gain. Now, that doesn't mean we become negative Nancys and all that. I'm trying to give you an insight into the human psyche. Yesterday, Erin, I think it was at lunch, just saying that she's a student of human psychology, and I am too, right? Because, I mean, that's really marketing. If you really want to get to the deep depths of kind of what I talked about with Robert Cialdini, those books, I mean, he's a psychologist. Yeah, psychologist, PhD, smart guy, right? Studying that. But what is the evil mission in your niche, right? With tax, if you're doing tax, this is a slam dunk. What's the evil? IRS. Have you ever heard the collection of the, what's it called? Michael Rosberg. Michael, if you're listening, I'm sorry. If you owe back taxes and all, right? You seen those commercials? Listen to them on the radio? If you watch TV or listen to the radio, you hear them, right? Do you owe more than $50,000 in back taxes? Well, we can help you right there. The IRS does not have the right to boot. What have they done right here? They've created a good versus evil mission. So it really helps, again, if you have a niche, because each niche, and it doesn't have to just be one evil, right? It can be several things. So a lot of people ask me, I just don't know what to write about. Here you go. Good versus evil mission. You can write about the evil all day long. But then the evil leads to the solution, and what's the solution? Hire you. Right? So what is that good versus evil mission? Now, the way that you're going to be able to extrapolate, the way you're going to be able to find this is listen to the pain points. They're not going to say, well, sometimes clients will say, I hate the IRS. Paying taxes is unconstitutional, and I'm not going to pay them. Well, I'm not going to work with you, okay? Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I'm paying taxes, and I'm not working with anybody who says that. So extrapolate what those are. What's that good? What's the evil? Next up, have step-by-step plans to help your client overcome their biggest pains. And it's right on cue that Ayanna talked about her creating guides that people pay for before they become clients that help them probably to do this right here. Maybe they're a new business owner and they don't know how to set up QuickBooks Online. I'm just guessing what one would be. But they need to do that, but they can't afford to pay her yet, or they can't justify that. So what if you had step-by-step plans of how to do that? That's a very basic one, but it would be very powerful. Imagine me as your potential client coming to your site or finding your ad or getting something handed out physically to me at a networking event that tells me exactly how to do that. I'm like, holy crap. Okay, this is exactly how to do it. Step-by-step, detailed plans. I heard somebody talking about, I think it was yesterday. Gosh, the day, it seems like I've been up here for 3 days. It's crazy. I've slept like an hour last night, I told you. But somebody was saying, you know, don't give away too much information on your blog. Don't give away too much information in the sales consultation. I say no. I say give it all away. Tell all the secrets. Give them all the steps. And if they want to do it on their own, you just added value to the marketplace. I say hold nothing back, right? Now, some people will take that and they'll run with it. And some people will love you. And some people will be apathetic and never be able to give them. You don't know which one is going to be the right client, which one's going to sign up with you, which one's going to give you money. But don't be afraid to share information. Don't be afraid to tell them exactly how to do it, okay? Over-deliver. Over-deliver. Help your clients to overcome their biggest pain. So here's what I would do if I were you. How many of you record your consultations, whatever you want to call them, proposals? How many of you record that? Okay, the rest of you, I tell you this in the course, start recording every consultation that you have with a potential client. Get their permission, okay? Make sure you get their permission before you hit the record. Yes, I agree, you can do that. Cool. Mr. Client, Mr. Potential Client, I'm on the phone. We're going to record this. Is that okay? In recording, I get it again. Okay, so we covered the legalities of all that right there. But why do I want to do that? Well, because I want to start going back, and I want to trend, and I want to see what are they asking. The questions that they're asking, number one, are objections. Okay? They're objections to not using you. Now, how do you work? Because do I send all my stuff, you know, into the cloud, or do I bring it over to a shoebox of me? Because my last bookkeeper, pain point right there. And when you start documenting all these, you should be able to answer these questions on the proposal, on the consultation, in line at the grocery store, at a networking event, boom, like the back of your hands, because you start to catalog these. Guess what else these questions are great fodder for? Marketing content, right? Step-by-step plans. All this comes back. Look for the pain, right? We can get to the gain. That's great. Help them to get that. But if somebody owes $100,000 in back taxes, or somebody has 4 years worth of financial statements to prepare because the IRS has sent them a nasty letter and said they're going to come seize all their property, they have a pain. They couldn't care less about how much they're going to make in the future. I'm not discounting that, but I'm saying you're alleviating the pain. Help your clients to overcome their pains. Give them step-by-step directions of how to do that, whether or not they are paying you or not. I know that that flies in the face of a lot of what we think, and it does me too. But I tell you, you cast a lot of bread on the water, it comes back, right? So make sure you do that. The other thing, D, maintain absolutes, okay? So, for example to you, an absolute, you must niche. You must niche. I don't say you should niche, you could niche, you must niche, okay? Now, some of you don't take that advice, and that's fine. You're adults, you're business owners, you're hard-headed, you can do what you want. You can do whatever you want. But that's an absolute. That's an absolute that we say is so, so important. A lot of us don't want to be offensive and you know, like, oh, I can't say dogmatic terms like, oh, you have to do this, you must do this, and all that. That's okay, right? Everybody is not your client. If everybody is your potential client, you don't have a good market defined, right? So maintain those absolutes. Again, I'm going to give you an example of somebody who does this really, really well, and you'll know who he is in just a second. Next up, answer all of their specific and tactical questions. What questions are your clients asking you over and over and over again where you're almost ready to just jump off a bridge because if you answer that again, you're going to choke, right? So we actually did this on the site. If you go bookkeepers.com/ I can't remember what it was. We'll post it up. We took all the questions that we get most frequently, and I did like a 3 to 5 minute video on every single one of those and put them up there so that people can get their questions answered. Until you answer all questions that a prospect has, they're not going to give you any money. They need to have all those questions answered. And the more that you can do on the front end, the more that you can do before they're to you, where it's just pretty much shut up and take my money, where it's that easy, we're softening the beachhead that Perry was preparing us for. The more marketing that you can do, the more questions that you can answer, the more authoritarian you can look in a good way, the more likely they are to say, yes, shut up, take my money. Right? Thanks, Ryan Dice, for telling me that, teaching me that. But answer all their specific and tactical questions. If you do this, you will never, ever, ever run out of content. I don't know what to write about. Bing. That's what you write about right there. I want to give you a couple of resources that you can do on that. The very best way, and it cannot be substituted, is talking to people. Right? Talk to your prospects. Talk to your clients. By the way, going back to that recording of the prospect conversations, I would also record the client meetings that you have. If you do them on Zoom, record them that way. Here's a great value add. If you have a portal, upload that. But get it transcribed. You're going to be a documenter here for a while. Get everything transcribed or just go back and listen to it, right? You can use rev.com, about $1 a minute. You can use other transcriptions or you can just simply listen to it, right? But this is where you're going to get those specific and tactical questions from your clients and from your prospects. You want all those answered before they get on the phone with you, okay? So that they can't, I mean, what's the objection? They're asking something stupid, right? And they're just like, it's like shooting fish in a bucket. Has anybody ever shot fish in a bucket? That'd be weird. It'd be nasty. Answer all their specific and tactical questions. How many of you think that having a niche could really drill down on this? Yeah. Hey, I'm getting this piece of dental equipment, and I heard that I could write the whole thing off. Hey, you're in luck. We got this right here. Got this answer on how to depreciate dental equipment. Not how to depreciate equipment, not how to depreciate a car, but how to, and I would actually call it out, hey, how to, can you depreciate all of your X, Y, and Z, right? And be very, very specific on that. Okay, icons, rituals, and rites. I'll come back to that when I give you the example. Icons, rituals, and rites. So let's just go through this so that you see it in context. Who does this as well as anyone? Okay, I'll tell you this. It's Dave Ramsey. Okay? Serious. He does it better than anyone. His niche. Who's his niche? People in debt. Right? It's not people in debt and people who want to save. And I mean, it kind of gets to that, but he didn't lead off with that, right? It's people in debt. That's his niche, right? It's not businesses in debt, although you could apply these principles. It's people in debt. Three words. Pretty simple. Next up, have a good versus evil mission. Do you think Dave Ramsey has a good versus evil mission?
Yeah.
What is it?
Debt is dumb.
Debt is dumb. Debt-free good, debt evil. See how that goes? Debt in your business, bad. Debt-free, good. Again, there's not just one evil. It's not about talking bad about some person. It's finding out what really is evil in this situation. Okay? So, have step-by-step plans to help them to overcome their biggest pain. So I just went here and I just took a screenshot of Dave Ramsey's site. He's got so much free content on this. But I'll tell you also, every page does a good job of trying to sell you on something right there. Right? Getting that commitment, getting that credit card number. But he does it. He has guides after guides. And I know that you're not Dave Ramsey, and I know that you don't have his content machine. You don't have his people. I don't either. Oops, sorry. I don't either, but he does this better than anyone right there. Maintain absolutes. What's the absolute? You must gain control over your money. I'm paraphrasing. Right? Debt's dumb. I must gain control over my money. Answer all their specific and tactical questions. Again, going back to those step-by-step guides and things that we talked about that he has on his sites, he absolutely does that. Now, the last one here. Can anybody think about an icon, a ritual, or rites that Dave Ramsey does? Has people do?
Debt-free scream.
The debt-free scream. Right? Genius. Genius. And that's what's made him so successful. Whether you like him or not, whether you believe, you know, I believe in what he says. Sometimes he rubs people the wrong way, including me. But what he says, you got to kind of filter through that and go, okay, this guy does it right. And if you look at his marketing organization behind the radio show, fabulous. Entree Leadership, all that stuff. I mean, if you want to follow somebody in marketing and learn how to do it, get into his funnel. By the way, how many of you have gotten into marketing funnels for other people who provide services that you do? Whoa. All right. So I want you to go out there and find people who are your competition. Get into their admire and acquire. Obviously, don't steal anything, but go out there and see what other people are doing. Get into other types of marketing. Who is doing it right? Who's doing the marketing funnel right? How can you follow up? What can you borrow? How can you adapt your business? Admire and acquire. Don't ever start with a blank sheet of paper. That's just a little freebie there on the side. But that's an icon. That's a ritual. And that's a right. Are you going to have your client come into your office and go, I made a profit? You could. We like to do something around here, right? I can see Ayana going, my financials are lovely. Wah, wah, wah. I mean, it probably wouldn't be good, but something like that, right? Like, you can do something like that. Again, it's just about that. So I want you to listen on this because it's very, very important. I learned this from Perry, so I cannot take credit for it, and I'm sure he stole it from somebody else. But I want you to listen to this. Your clients, your prospects, your team, your family, anyone who has a pulse and can fog a mirror, they'll run through a brick wall for you if you, number one, support their dreams, allay their fears, justify their previous failures. Don't worry, I'll come back to them. Confirm their suspicions and cast stones at their enemies. Okay, let's walk through those each real quick here. Write these down. Everybody should be writing these down or typing these down. Support their dreams. Do the business owners that you work with, do your family members, do your team members, do they have dreams? Do they have aspirations? Do they have goals? Right? Do they? It's a question. Not a trick question, y'all. Yeah. Do you have dreams? Do you have aspirations? Do you have goals? Okay. So, if I'm going to support somebody's dream, what do you think is probably first thing step to do? What's that? Somebody say it loud. Boom. I'm sorry, didn't mean to do that. Yeah, know what their dream is, right? And we talked about that, bringing that out, you know? So supporting their dreams, if you'll do that, they'll run through a brick wall for you. Allay their fears. Subside their fears. So going back here to support their dreams. Hey, I know that in 5 years, Miss Client, you want to sell your business for $500,000. I've heard that from you. Now, right now, I'm not a business valuation person, but I bet it's worth $100,000. Would you agree? Yeah, I agree with that. So you want to get it from $100,000 to $500,000. I can't do it on my own, but I can help you. And here's the plan. A, B, C, and D, would you like some help? Supporting their dreams. Do you think anybody else has taken the time to, number one, know what their dreams are? Right? Unless you're with Ayana or a lot of you already here in the group that know how to do that. But supporting their dreams, all of their dreams, not just their work dreams, not just how it relates to their business, but also their life. You know, learning about them. What do they want? Supporting their dreams. Allay their fears. I'm afraid that in 5 years, I'm not even going to be able to give this business away. Ah, okay, that's a fear. Well, that may be true or may not, but I think that we can help with A, B, C, and D. As long as you can help with that, right? What are their fears? I'm afraid that I owe $100,000 in taxes. I don't know because I haven't done my financial statements. Now, you can't say, oh, don't worry, you don't owe $100,000. You got to figure it out first. But it's part of the first step of helping them to allay that fear. Support their dreams, allay their fears. Justify previous failures. You know what? Pat, I didn't have success in the past. Well, it wasn't your fault. Now, don't say things that you don't believe. Don't say things that are disingenuous, and don't pander, right? If you did one of these, you're ahead of most people that are out there. But what are the failures? You know what? I failed in my business miserably. I didn't know. Well, it's because you didn't know about finances, right? Dave Ramsey, same thing. Hey, you had debt. It was dumb. Get over it. It was okay. That's the way the world tells you. Everything is pushed towards having credit. You're just pushed into that box. But it's time. I believe he says something along the lines of basically take responsibility, right? It's maybe not your fault, but take responsibility now. I'm paraphrasing. Sorry, Dave, if I ruined you. I know Dave on first name basis. But justify their previous failures. How do you feel about your previous failures? And we talked about that this morning. It's kind of rotten, right? Hey, that wasn't your fault. And if it was their fault, don't say that, right? Yeah, it was your fault. It's pretty bonehead, right? Justify their previous failures. Confirm their suspicions. The IRS is out to take all my money. You bet they are. They want it all. They got two lines on the new tax form. How much did you make? Send us a check. I mean, paraphrasing right there. But confirming their suspicions. What are their suspicions? And again, please don't think that I'm talking about going dark, going evil. But we all have suspicions, right? You know, we can talk about those in a news, a political, a financial, a business type of context, but we all have suspicions. And I'm just giving you kind of the tip of the iceberg. If you only supported their dreams, you got it. But if you can confirm their suspicions, if you can allay their fears and all the other things, you are golden. They'll run through a brick wall. And finally, cast stones at their enemies. Okay? Yep, that bank, they're some bitches, right? That bank there, yeah, they're bad. I deal with them, yeah, they're not good right there. Again, you don't have to do all of these things, but if you do one of them, you're so, so far ahead. So method number two, right, is going out there and establishing yourself as an authority. I know that some of you, again, if you only took one piece out of this, you're like, you know what? What he said was bunk on all that method number two of becoming an authority, but what I took away from it is that, you know what, I can help to support my clients' dreams. Boom. Victory. Okay? Pick and choose. Method number three, referrals. I talked to so many people here today and yesterday and the day before. They're talking about, you know what, Ben, you've helped me. We've done all this stuff, and I've never spent a dime on advertising. I've never marketed. And I always like to get into that because it doesn't happen to everyone. But the power of referrals, right? Those of you who know what I'm talking about, it becomes this almost unstoppable machine. But it comes back to this, right? It comes back to what we talked about. Step number one in taking your service to a business was what? Create that basically a well-oiled machine, right? Get your operations right. Perfect your operations. If you offer a lousy, crappy service, then guess what? Nobody's going to refer you. Okay? Nobody's going to refer you. But if you do offer a great service, capitalize on that. But I get this all the time. Hey, I really want to do referral, but what's the secrets to getting my clients to refer people? There's a secret, there's pills, there's something I can say, is there a magic potion? What can I do to get them referred? So most people think, and I did too, okay? So I'm so far boneheaded above anything that you've done. Whatever you think that you've boneheaded, I've done it 10x, okay? But the important thing is I figured out how not to be boneheaded. Is that right, Kelly? Or is she spray gun? What are you talking about? Most people think, hey, it's how I ask for a referral. Right? It's when you ask for a referral. It's the phase of the moon, the sun, and the stars. Are you a Libra? Then it'll work. Taurus? It's not going to work. Guess what? It's none of these. Then what is the key to get inundated with referrals? And I'm going to come back to this, and it's a great book, and I'll remember, but be so good they can't ignore you. Be so good they can't ignore you. This is a quote from Steve Martin on Charlie Rose's interview a number of years ago, where Charlie Rose asked him the question, if you were giving, and again, I'm going to paraphrase, you can go back and watch it on YouTube, but if you were talking to somebody who was getting into the entertainment or the comedy business or the acting business right now, what advice would you have for them? And he said, be so good they can't ignore you. Have anybody of you ever seen the biography of Steve Martin? That dude's an entrepreneur and a hustler, right? He was unknown forever, playing his banjo and, you know, I guess that's a bass, but playing his banjo and all that stuff, and he's just, you should listen to that. But be so good they can't ignore you. And again, I know that I've recommended this before, but if you've not read it, going back to talking about getting your operations polished, this by Cal Newport is a wonderful, wonderful book. So Good They Can't Ignore You. Why Skills Trump Passion in the quest for work you love. His basic premise is that, hey, following your passion is a bunch of hooey. Get really damn good at something and passion will come. And I believe that. So good they can't ignore you. And what this really means, and he talks about, Cal Newport talks about in this book, is to adopt the craftsman mindset. Everybody know what a craftsman is, you know? Somebody's really good at the trade. It's generally referred to, who are my trade folks? Who deals with trades, right? So they used to talk about like an apprentice, a journeyman, and then a craftsman, right? Or craftswoman, I guess we could put that in there, right? But adopting this, which Cal Newport, in his book, So Good They Can't Ignore You, says it's this. It's a focus on what value you're producing in your job. Okay? What value are you producing in your business? What value are you producing to your clients? What value are you producing for your team members? All of these things, it goes back to what Gabrielle was talking about. Win-win. It's win-win. What have you done for me lately? What are you doing for them? Producing results. Remember we said yesterday morning that everything that you do in your business should be focused on the end result that your client wants. Alleviating the pain that they have. That's everything that you do. And those are just some examples that I wanted to share with you here today. And I also want to tell you, as a gratuitous plug for what I'm about to talk to real quick next, is getting those designations, but not getting the designations for designations purposes, right? One of the ways you become an authority is to have initials behind your name, right? Ben Robinson, CPA. Inactive, by the way, so no way it gives me in trouble because I inactivated. But I don't want to go 40 hours of stupid continuing education when I don't even do that anymore. Sorry. But, you know, getting those initials behind your name, that establishes an authority. But the real important part about it is that it probably makes you a better service provider. Right? Getting a CPA, I got it. I didn't magically the day that before become smarter the next day, but it showed a commitment. And your clients value that. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do with the Digital Bookkeeper Association through the Certified Digital Bookkeeper designation. And that's what I want to do real quick here before we take our break. I want to recognize the people who are certified digital bookkeepers who are in this room. And tomorrow, I'm going to talk about what we're going to be doing to promote you, as well as every single individual member in the Digital Bookkeeper Association. So I have a list about me, and I know that this is going to freak you out, but get over it. Because I got a list. I got a list of the people who are the certified digital bookkeepers. I'd love for you to come up here on stage so that we can give you a round of applause. So please come up. Brandy Deloney. All right, we'll hold the applause till the end, otherwise we'll be here forever. Brandy Derrick. Don't clap for her. No clap for Brandy. All right, Cheryl Lanahan, Denise Vinoy, Jackie Kromschroder, Jennifer Gurman, Jeremy VG Van Grohl. That's what you are on my phone, Jeremy VG. Katie Olson, Kirsten Reeder, Laurie Parent, Loretta Griffin, Rachel LaMontagna. Sorry, butchered that. Randy Ballin, Ty Alex, and Tanya Kilman. So everybody, hold on just a second for your applause. But I want to tell you, these individuals went through hell to become a certified digital bookkeeper. If you look at it, you were like, holy crap, I'm not doing that. That's a lot of work. That's exactly the way we designed it. We want it to mean something. We want it to be a standout. My vision is that long after I'm dead, it's on par with being a certified public accountant. That's a lofty goal, just like Ben Stein's, hey, we want to have one app for bookkeeping operation, whatever it was. It's a lofty goal. It won't happen in my lifetime, but we can start the fire. And these individuals, these ladies, and that man. Yeah. These ladies and that man right there, that man right there have gone through hell, taken tests, proven that they have Arizona emissions insurance, gotten referral letters from clients. What else did you do? Took the final proctored exam online where somebody's actually watching you You can't even go to the bathroom, I think, or something like that. They watch your eyes. We're watching you, right? So I want you to give them all a round of applause for their dedication.